Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
And we get to travel around the world again, tell some missionary stories, some of my favorite stories to tell, for sure. I think some of your favorites.
Yes, missionaries.
Maybe, I don't know.
They're like missionary stories and adoption stories right up here.
Oh, that's true. You really like the adoption stories.
I do.
Get the box of Kleenex for those.
But then you have hymns and hymnals on that same plane. So
yeah, they're pretty high up there. Or coffee. I don't know.
Oh, that's true.
Or bicycles. Bicycles.
This rate's higher. I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually. So today in the studio, we have the honor of having Pastor Jim Kirkova, Regional Director for the Eurasia region for the LCMS, joining us in studio. Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you in the studio. And I'm not sure that we've ever had you on before in this capacity.
Not on this show, but I have been on a few times.
It was well before my day.
Yes. It was pre-Sarah.
Pre-Sarah. I don't think that's a real time period. So tell us what you do as a regional director and the unique opportunities that you have in Eurasia.
Well, each region has a regional director, and the regional director oversees the mission work of our LCMS missionaries and work that we do with partner churches, which may or may not have LCMS missionaries. And so in my region, Eurasia, it's probably the region with the most partner churches because it includes Europe. And, of course, Lutheranism comes from Germany, and our oldest and biggest partner is the German Lutheran Church, which is the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church, ZELK, as we say. And but we have many, many partners, and we have about 30 missionaries, LCMS missionaries. But the region is big. It extends from, well, practically speaking, from England, even though Greenland's in our territory, but we don't have anything there. But England to Mongolia.
Wow.
That was my next question. Is I look at the globe and I can't find anything that says Eurasia.
There is no Eurasia, and in fact, it's sort of our artificial way of dividing up the world for administrative reasons, I suppose you might say. But Eurasia is basically conceived of as Europe and the Middle East, which we don't have people in those regions, or in those areas, mm-hmm. and then the former Soviet Union. So it's kind of the former Soviet Union that sort of, because India is, we're actually east of India. If you go to the end of Russia to Kamchatka or something like that. But India belongs to the Asia, what they call the Asia region. Mm-hmm.
How much time do you have to spend working on geography and then travel plans?
We travel quite a bit because we do want to, there's nothing like face-to-face conversations, mm-hmm. Not only with our missionaries, but with our partner churches. And partner churches are many, and they have requests. They want to do things to build their churches, to increase their witness of the gospel, and so we do a variety of things, but we are kind of driven by our partners. And in fact, it's something we want to do more of as time goes by because, let's say over the last 25 years, there was a lot of mission, hands-on mission work by LCMS missionaries that actually produced church bodies. I mean, even myself, I started out as a missionary in 1990. And I was sent to then Czechoslovakia, and by 1992, they had split into the Czech Republic and Slovakia. But I worked there until 2006, and then in 2006, during those 16 years, we built churches in the city of Pilsen, two in Pilsen, three in Prague, and one in Brno, which is the capital of Moravia. That's the more eastern part of the country. Mm-hmm. And then we've tried a few mission upstarts. Some have failed. Some have gotten a start, but a small start. And we are that church body now is currently looking to move to another city. They've got a pastor that can do it. But in 2006, when I left, I had received a call to come back home, and I thought, well, 16 years was a long time, but at that point I was able to turn over all of the work that I was doing to Czech indigenous pastors, and of course that's kind of your goal. It's and really 16 years is not a long time to be that far along, even though it's a small church. But now they're producing their own pastors. They've got their own agenda, their own plans for the future, and their own cooperation with us and asking us for what they need. And that's the way it should be. They're kind of gone from infancy to teenager or early manhood or something like that. You know?
What is, in that part of the world, what's their perception of Lutherans, especially where you were, are with this, proto-Reformation with Jan Hus?
Yes, that's something that was exceedingly helpful to me in my work, because you don't really hear in seminary, you only have so much time, I guess, but so in church history, you don't hear so much about how Lutheranism spread south of Germany. You hear about how it went to Norway and Sweden and Denmark and all that, because those were big national conversions to Lutheranism, because the religion of the king was the religion of the people. But it did also go south. And in fact, in Bohemia during the Reformation, during that first Reformation century, let's say, there were 800 congregations in Bohemia. That's just the western half of the Czech Republic. And by the end of the communist era, they were down to 4 members.
Wow.
So... and one church in Prague and so it was strange, but at the same time, you know, people were kind of interested because now they had freedom and they could hear the gospel and see what that was all about, and it really helped that Lutheranism was actually part of their history and a pretty significant part of their history. They didn't fare well in the 30 Years' War, so they had to flee east into the forest, basically, where they worshipped for 50 years in the trees, and those forests were today's country of Slovakia. And so Lutheranism, because of the 30 Years' War, it was very persecuted in Bohemia and Moravia, but then it just moved over to Slovakia. So Slovakia today is also a fairly large Lutheran church. So it's and in the Czech Republic, we had the church that I worked in, which is called the Evangelical Church of the Augsburg Confession in the Czech Republic. They have nice long names over there. And then
I like that name.
Yeah, there are two other Lutheran churches. That one is called the Silesian Evangelical Church of the Augsburg Confession, and the other is called the Lutheran Evangelical Church of the Augsburg Confession. So,
but you know what they're about.
Yeah. You know what they're about. But the reason for the Augsburg Confession being thrown into the name is because Joseph II, who passed the toleration law of Protestants, the law says from here on we tolerate evangelicals of the Augsburg Confession and of the Helvetic Confession. And those were the Calvinists. So their name had to be according to the law in order to fulfill the law. Because the church and the state were never separated until very, very recently.
World history lesson one for the day.
This is so fascinating.
Sorry about that.
No, that was excellent.
Do we have like 3 hours for this conversation? Seriously.
And the other thing is the connection with Hus, because everybody knows that John Hus was a reformer, but you know he didn't live long enough to reform the church, and in fact some of his theology wasn't all that great, but he did something for the church that was was amazing, and that was that he was martyred. Mm-hmm. And the martyrdom of Hus lived on. And it was very much in everybody's memory, including Luther's. I mean, when somebody died 100 years ago of martyrdom, it would be like us hearing about some tragedy a month ago, mm. you know.
Yeah. We have a couple minutes left, but...
Only a couple?
I know, only a couple instead of 3 hours. There are so many cultures that you have to... That you have to be able to work with. What is that like from European culture all the way to Mongolian culture? I mean, those are very different.
It's different cultures. It's very different, and I suppose European feels the most like home because that's where I'm from, and from European background. And but the I would say like the Russian or the Slavic mentality is a bit different. People, we have two churches in Russia. Russia's different from, like, from Czechoslovakia, where I was, in that they never had a time of a democracy. When Czechoslovakia was formed after World War I, there was, but the time between the two world wars, it was a republic. And the Russian countries and the Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, those countries that were satellites, really never had that experience, and so that shapes people. You're either used over there. They're either used to sort of the czar mentality, or the communist mentality, and so breaking out of that is a bit slower, I would say.
Just under a minute left. What can we do for our missionaries? Because you have a team of missionaries you work with and these partner churches you work with. What can we do? What can we be praying for our friends in Eurasia?
Well, that's the first thing is to pray. That's right. And we certainly appreciate everybody's prayers. That the work go on and that we continue to have really good working relationships with our partners, because that's the future for those countries. And that, of course, you know, send money to the Office of International Missions or adopt a missionary. I'd love it if every district in the Missouri Synod would adopt one missionary. That would be amazing. And one OIM missionary. And because the work we actually need more workers. I've got a few vacancies in my field that I need to fill and want to fill. And we'll be looking to do that. So any support like that is needed.
The Reverend Jim Krikova, serving as Regional Director for Eurasia for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.